Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Hot Slice. We have a very special episode of The Hot Slice today. I am creative director Josh Cowan, and with me, the executive editor of Pizza Today, Miss Denise Greer. Hello, Denise.
Hello, Josh. It's Monday, but I am giddy as all can get out because we have an awesome guest.
We do have an awesome guest. It's a very special episode. This is our Pizzeria of the Year episode featuring Tony Gimignotti.
Can I just say how hard that was to keep a secret? Do you know how many photos I have on my phone of us going to Tony's Pizza Napolitana, and I couldn't share a single one of them?
Yeah, we went to San Francisco a month ago. Tony fed us nearly every pizza on the menu, which is a lot.
Yeah,
probably two tables full. Chris Decker happened to be there. John Arena happened to be there too.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
Them too. We're like, you're not allowed to say anything to anybody. That you saw Pizza Today people here. You're like, we just had to keep it a secret.
We were never here. I think on one of Chris's posts on Instagram, he like cuts us out and everything. So much appreciated.
Awesome.
Much appreciated, Chris. But yeah. Just had a fantastic time. We were there for, I don't know, 6 hours maybe. Just exploring the place, eating, talking to Tony. And the first thing I wanted to do was get back to my hotel room and post something on Instagram. And it was really hard not to.
Yeah, it was. It was really hard not to. But before we jump into talking to Tony, because I know everybody's going to be jazzed and excited to hear from Tony, we got some things to talk about with Pizza Today. So the survey, we still have the industry survey going out. So if you have not taken the survey and you are a pizzeria operator, please hop on and take that survey. There'll be a link in the show notes, I believe. And along with that, we are doing a 30 pizzerias to watch list. We discontinued the Hot 100 list a couple years ago. And this was always the intended replacement for it, is a pizzerias to watch list. So please go to the portal and definitely fill out the questionnaire, because we are asking a lot of questions. It's not necessarily just based on sales. We're looking at community involvement. We're looking at marketing. We're looking at, you know, what you're doing out there in the world. Yeah.
This is your chance to tell the world, tell us, what you're all about, and share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't forget to complete that. The only other clearinghouse, we're getting really excited for Pizza and Pasta Northeast. It's coming up in October. We've already got our plane tickets.
The return of Pizza and Pasta. We haven't had one since 2019. Of course, a few things have happened since then, but we are happily back in Atlantic City, Pizza and Pasta Northeast. We got a great seminar lineup. We got Polly G as our keynote, tons of demos. It's going to be a great time. It's always one of my favorite shows.
And it's going to be a good time to just grab us and talk to us, because it's one where we're not running in a billion directions at that show like we are with the huge pizza expo. We have a little more time on our hands to actually, you know, get out there and really have some in-depth conversations. So you can always tap our shoulder, whatever, grab us.
Are we taking the podcast of Pizza and Pasta Northeast?
You know, we haven't talked about that.
I don't see a reason we shouldn't. We should definitely take it. Okay.
I think we should take the podcast.
I think we just made that decision right here.
I think
here.
We did. Executive decision, Josh and I. We're not talking to anybody else about it. We're doing it. Come find us, and we're going to do some podcast episodes. Guess that means we need to get a room or something.
We'll have to get a room.
That's awesome. All right. So I think that we need to jump in to the Tony interview, because it's a longer interview than we normally do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just, everything he shares is just, I just love what he has to say and the energy he brings to the industry. Over 30 years in, and he's still so excited about pizza and pizza making. And that says a lot, because, you know, people can get to that burnout phase really fast in their careers, and he's still hammering away and making things better at 30 years.
Yeah, he keeps pushing the industry forward. And stay tuned to the end. You can hear what Tony kind of thinks. What's next?
Big pizza style. You got to catch that next big pizza style, because you're going to want in on it.
All right, so let's just jump into the podcast.
Performance Food Service is proud to deliver high-quality products, innovative technology, and custom operational solutions to restaurants of all sizes across the country. The flagship division of Performance Food Group, with deep roots in the restaurant industry, Performance Food Service has been the exclusive distributor of the Roma family of brands for more than 65 years. This signature relationship has allowed Performance Food Service to become a leader in the pizza and Italian segment of food service nationwide. Hear that? That's the sound of a pizza being made with delicious Baccio cheese. For the past decade, Baccio has provided customers exceptional Italian pizza cheese with its signature kiss of buffalo milk. With a superior melt, endless stretch, and a rich, creamy taste beyond compare, Baccio is honored to celebrate this 10-year anniversary with all of its partners. Schedule a demonstration at bacciocheese.com/hotslice to learn more. Pizza's your legacy. Build it with Baccio.
Looking to grow your pizzeria or restaurant? Then you'll want to try the power of a cloud-based POS system. With Hunger Rush, you'll get everything you need. This fully integrated restaurant management system allows you to easily streamline operations, accelerate the delivery process, and grow your business through Hunger Rush 360 marketing. And it's so easy to use. Want AI-powered text ordering? It's built in. Need to track orders? No problem. Schedule a personalized demo at hungerrush.com today.
All right, so Tony, you are Tony's Neapolitana is Pizzeria of the Year. Congratulations.
Congrats. Congrats again.
Congrats. You know, Josh and I are still talking about going there and just experiencing it. And when we describe it as a pilgrimage, because I feel like that's what it is when you're in the industry and you get to Tony's.
Well, and another thing is like having to sit on this for a month when we couldn't tell anybody we were there and we experienced this. That was another thing. It was like, I want to post photos.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm still waiting for my issue. I haven't got it.
No!
I'm down. Everyone, I'm like, I think that you're playing a joke on me.
I have no control.
He has reached out to me and I'm like, I still haven't got mine. So I'm going to hold you guys to it when I see you.
Hey, honestly, just let me know if you haven't got it in a week, let me know. And I'll get our production team to send a bunch of copies to you. So
awesome.
Yeah, we'll get on it.
California gets it last, I think.
Oh yeah. So, a bunch of people reached out to you about the Pizzeria of the Year, you know, what kinds of things did you get?
Oh, just amazing, about time, things like that. A lot of people have been reposting it and it's been pretty awesome. And you know, you see some of the people that got it early, like Chris Decker was one of the first guys that said, hey man, I got this, awesome, congratulations. And then, can you shoot me some photos of it and send it to me? Because I'm so excited to see it, I haven't seen it yet. And he shot me some, John Arena, a lot of people all over the place sent me a lot of nice messages, a lot of nice things. Even old students, past students, it was really cool, yeah.
Now, what does it mean to you? Because I know a lot of people posted on our website too, and they are on our socials. And I love it because they refer to you as the GOAT. What does that name mean to you?
I think it's pretty awesome that people call me that. There's a lot of great pizza makers out there. I think when it comes to Tony's and you see us getting it, you know, I've been in the business for 31 years and we're in my room to have all my collectibles, as you guys know. And in that drawer over there, there's some old Pizza Todays, the original ones. Ones that, you know, when you get into the game, getting on a cover of Pizza Today is the biggest thing in the world. I mean, like you might say, some people say, oh, Time Magazine. If you're in the pizza business and you've grown up with it as long as I have, you've always opened up Pizza Today as like, this is it. This is our industry Bible. Like, you know, when you open it up and to finally get on that was pretty big for me, honestly. Like, cried a little bit, told my wife, like wow, this is great. And then, you know, in 2005, the guys were on it, Ken and me and Joe Carlucci and Styler and Mike Shepard were on that as a team, bringing back the World Pizza Games. Honestly, it's been a lifelong dream of my career to be Pizzeria of the Year. And, you know, I built Tony's to be a special place. I always said it was going to be an institution, multiple ovens, multiple styles before anyone ever really looked at that as saying, hey, you know, we're New York guys and we hate this style. We don't get along with Chicago or California and we only do this. And I looked beyond that. And it was always a special place and a place where we taught students, certified students over the years. And I've been teaching for 15 years and 13 of those years have been out of Tony's. And just seeing the people that have come in, the students have come in over the years, seeing us progress into the volume that we do now to what it was at the beginning. It's just been pretty awesome. And then I can't tell you how excited I was to be on that. I wanted to tell everybody. I told my partners, but you know, it was a big deal in my career, more than you guys would ever imagine. And it takes a lot to get on a Pizza Day cover. People think that there are a lot of magazines in the industry or outside of our industry, let's say, that throw people on covers and do stuff like that. You earn it. And it's been really special. 31 years later, I can say I was in this magazine and I'm on it. And, you know, I do a lot with you guys in trade shows, stuff like that over the years, but it was very special to me. I can't tell you how much. I can't even describe it actually. So
I just a quick story. Like when we were following you to the restaurant and we get there and there's a line all the way down the block. And this is just a normal, Wednesday or Thursday or something like Thursday. That. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the pizzeria of the year right here. This is the pizzeria of the year. It was amazing.
It was so cool. I honestly, you know, it's, you know, and oh, people that we visited their restaurants know that we usually come in at an off time. So we usually come in and we see no one. Like usually there's like no one in the dining room, no one out. And to sort of walk up and see a huge line that was like half a block long. And people are just jazzed and excited to get your food. Like that's
coming from all around. Yeah. Coming from all around. I mean, you met two guys, I don't know, they were from overseas and just to come there and try it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's exciting. Every time, you know, you see locals, neighborhooders, you see people in the Bay Area, and then you see in the States and then you see outside from different countries. It's pretty awesome to see that every day. You know, we had our biggest month ever in July that we ever, and so that was pretty exciting. We did a little over 1.2, which was pretty insane. I know the story was about $1 million months, pretty much, or breaking that, and we did have our biggest month ever, and that was pretty exciting to see that number. I think we touched on this a little bit. It's like, you know, he does all this volume and it's not like that. I mean, like, you know, back in the day when I started, you always wanted to reach 1 million. I mean, that was the goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, you know, at Paisano's Pizzeria with my brother counting out, you know, and we talk about this a little bit. My wife's, you know, on the counter, I'm writing checks in to the nightly deposit. And a lot of it was cash back then and everything's credit card now. And you're batching out and you're celebrating a $3,500 night, a $5,000 night. Mm-hmm. And your dream is to reach $1 million. And then once you hit that $1 million, you want to get a 1.3, 1.5, and you're hoping one day you'll hit two. And, you know, I was there back in the day and you know, you work hard, you dream, you think about ideas, you think about seating, you think about flow, you think about everything to try to achieve it. How do I build my delivery up? How do I build my to-go? How do I build lunches? There's so many variables to achieving that number. And is it achievable to do $1 million a month? And it is. And there were kind of stepping stones for me to get to that. It didn't happen overnight. Yeah. I moved on from Paisano's after 17 years. And we did, you know, nice numbers back then that reached 1 million and over. Mm-hmm. But to really break the 10 million mark and the 12 million mark, which we think we're going to break this year, it's a lot of hard work. It's a big team behind it. It's not just me, even though it's Tony's Pizza. There's so many more people involved in that number, over 100 employees, mm-hmm. that are able to achieve that number. And, we're not a big square foot, you know, we're not big. You saw that. It's not giant. Cheesecake Factory. It's not 10,000 square feet. It's not even 5,000 square feet, really. Yeah. Doing the most that you can out of a kitchen that's considered relatively small, but having different parts and to be able to have now 200 seats versus 100 seats made quite a difference in annual sales with the addition of seating during COVID with outdoor seating and parklets and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, and let's, you know, because Josh and I, we walked into the kitchen area because, you know, you get that open, open oven out in the front, and then you have your other ovens in the back. And what I thought was really cool is, you know, we've been in a lot of kitchens and yours is no bigger, probably a lot smaller than some of them that we've seen, you know, and to be able to do that kind of output is, it's just mind boggling, man.
Yeah. What kind of systems go into that? Like where does it start?
Benches always in the business, you know, you run out of refrigeration, you always run out of room if you start building volume, but you know, I had to move my dough production outside of Tony's down the street, and I added that to the equation of rent and fixtures and everything. But you know, you do the most out of it, and you train your guys and to be your crew to be as fast as you can, but also being efficient. So, you know, I have a almost a 9,000 square foot restaurant, Pizza Rocks in Vegas. When those chefs come in, and they say, we'll never complain about a small kitchen ever. like they'll look at it and be nuts. And we'll do, you know, 2.5 times more of the volume almost there. Two times the volume there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting when you pivot in a kitchen. The smaller kitchens actually are more efficient than bigger kitchens. And even though our kitchens are separated, you know, when you look at Slice House and Tony's and you got a coal oven over here and a Rotoflex over here, and you have the Pizza Masters here and you have the Capones here and the wood fired in the front.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parts to it. But it all works. You know, I always think that you can make the most out of the square footage you have. Sometimes people think that, you know, I have students come to me and say, you know, I think I'm maxed out. This is what we do. And I said, what are you doing? Yeah, we do like 2,800. I said, what's your square footage? You show me a video. There's a guy in Arizona, actually, that I'm like, you could do way more volume out of that. And he's all, no, we're pretty maxed out. I'm like, trust me, you could do a lot more volume out of that kitchen. That kitchen's twice the size of mine. You got the ovens. You just need to, you know, you'll learn to get busier as you go and be faster. And I think important too is the employees too. You know, how are they able to get faster during a busy time? And I think we talked a little bit about this is, you know, is some of the people that you hire that play sports, you know, that know how to be faster. You know, every night, it's like almost a game. I always say that, like, it's a game and you're trying to get through it. And when it comes to that, I think it's great to have those employees that know how to churn it up fast and then faster. It's just not one pace. And that could be a 15-year-old, that could be a 60-year-old. It doesn't have to be young. It could be young and old, or it doesn't have to be old. It can be young. And I think how you train and is important. So.
Yeah. And I liked how you were talking to me about the fact that like your Tony's crew, when they look at where they want to be positioned, like everybody wants to be at Tony's and not in the Slice House section, because Tony's is that esteem, but Slice House is doing, you know, just cranking out pies as well.
Well, yeah, you usually have a younger employee at a fast cash concept, you know, it's just Slice House and Tony's are combined. Mm-hmm. Everything that they didn't like about Tony's, I said, we got to put in the Slice House. Convenient, you know, more affordable, it's fast. You can get a slice and go. People don't want to wait in line. It's better for to-go and delivery and everything. But, you know, on my fast casuals, the Slice House components usually do get younger employees. And then you get more that could turn over 2 to 3 years, depending on where they are or what area they're at. And then you have Tony's that it's a little more career driven. It's, you know, it's servers, bartenders. If you look at servers, bartenders, bussers, saute cooks, even the pizza line, some of them have been with me ever since I've opened. So 13 years, over 13 years now. And it's a busy house. You know, do we turn over dishwashers a lot? We do. And unfortunately, and maybe runners and stuff like that. But very more career driven and very more like, hey, first year, you know, maybe senior year or first couple of years of college, I'm here for a few years and you kind of move on. So two different animals, but at the same time, when they're combined, I always say fast and full, fast casual meets full service, just like Pizza Rock in Las Vegas is with the Slice House. And you really have the combination of both worlds in it. And I think that's the perfect.
And, you know, we spent hours and hours and hours with you. And so I think about like all the things you and I talked about and how like I could write a book on every on everything we talked about, just because, you know, you're so knowledgeable and there's so much to the business. The one thing that I didn't get to include that much in the article, but I definitely was fascinated by and loved is the fact that people kept coming up to you from the neighborhood. And you had this just one-on-one rapport with so many people in the community. Because I think a lot of people look at Tony's and think, well, that's got to be just tourism, right? And then I got to see that, no, North Beach is a very strong community and they really are supporting you and you're supporting them.
Yeah, you saw a lot of that during COVID. You know, a lot of riders in San Francisco tend to look at North Beach and say, no, it's just a tourist trap. It's not. I mean, we're the busiest neighborhood in San Francisco when COVID hit, and they were all neighborhooders. So, you know, when I moved out from Castro Valley, from Paisanos, and I went into San Francisco, I'm like, this is going to be a big city. It's such a neighborhood place. The business owners know each other. You get to know everybody, and you know your supervisor, you know the politicians. You know, San Francisco, you look at New York and L.A., it's very neighborhood. And I love that. And I do have a good rapport with, you know, the local merchants and people that live in the neighborhood. So it's really awesome. You wouldn't think it would be like that, you know, and then where you see a little bit of that culture, it's pretty cool to be able to see that. But it's just great to have. And like I said, we're a mix. We're a mix of a tourism and neighborhood. Always that way. And when I came into the neighborhood, they say, you're a young chef, go to the Mission. It's kind of hipsterville. It's cool there. You got a lot of, I said, no, I want to do it in North Beach. And they say, yeah, but it's just a tour shop. Well, it's not. If you build a great concept with great food and a great crew, you're going to get your neighborhood to support you. And we did. And we really proved that. And a lot of restaurants came in after that, once we did that.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's so great. You know, I can think about just a million things from our visit and probably, you know, cause Josh, you'll have to post a photo of the whole spread that Tony provided us at some point. So y'all can
see. I couldn't get the whole spread I couldn't get the whole spread in one frame. So I'll get as much as I can.
I did get it on video, but so the amount of food that you sent us with, like it was amazing. But I think about, you know, everything that was on that table and your menu is just so diverse, but so focused. You know, you can think about, you know, that you do have so many different styles of pizza, but you're very driven and very focused on that menu. Can you just talk a little bit about like how you're able to pull that off, like that kind of a menu?
Yeah, you know, having multiple styles and multiple ovens was important to the model. It didn't exist until Tony's opened. So having the right flour, the right tomatoes. I mean, if you look at like just even the Stanislaus that we use there, I mean, we use Alta Cucina, Valoroso. I have my own line with them. That's a combination of Saporitos and Tomato Magic. But I mean, if you look at the cheeses we use, the ingredients we bring in, it's very specific. There's dough recipes for the style, flours for that style, tomatoes, cheese, even mozzarella. If you look at the grande that we use for everything, it's specific ingredients that we use for those pizzas and then everything imported. So yeah, when I did it, I had to do it right. I hated going to places that would say, oh, New York style pizza. And there was nothing New York about it. Yeah. I used to bother me a lot as an operator, as I traveled a lot and I learned New York and I was in Chicago and Detroit.
Yeah.
Styles to San Francisco that didn't exist, you know, I thought that was important. You know, St. Louis, Detroit never existed in San Francisco for a very long time. Mm-hmm. You look at a lot of different other styles that we did, you know, grandma style, things that you didn't really see very much. And I think it was really important to do it right. And I always said, like, you know, you're going to be this Mecca. You're going to get a lot of restaurateurs coming in and they're getting all these styles, kind of like what you had in front of you. And they're lifting the bottom and looking, that's Caputo Blue. And they're looking at this and they're airing all these, you know, pizzas. And it's like one of those only places you can go and literally have every style practically, or you go down the street to Capo's and try it. Yeah. Chicago, but really to be able to kind of sit and have a different style next to it and see which one you liked. It's very communal and mm-hmm. it's very party driven, office, you know, party driven, stuff like that, that you see. And it's different. And, you know, now with Instagram and people wanting diverse, you know, pizzas, or wow, I've seen that on there, I want to try that.
Yeah,
you know, kind of one of those places that you could try it and there. So it's great that you're able to see that. Yeah.
So you've been amazingly successful. What is it that, you know, sometimes, you know, people get successful and they just kind of let it ride. You know, what gives you that edge to keep pushing things forward?
Yeah, there's a competitive edge that I have. Yeah. You know, my dad was a soccer coach. We played soccer growing up. I did track, badminton. I loved to swim. I was really super competitive. Having an older brother, you know, you always wanted to be better, faster than him, better than him, stuff like that. So there's that competitive drive that's there that has always been there. I think staying relevant, you know, right when people think that, oh, now we figured out what he's going to do. Let's do Detroit style. We're going to do all this and kind of copy that. That's when you lay down two more styles, or you introduce this, or you do that. I mean, I think the vision is, you know what you're doing now, but what's ahead and what do you need to be to stay relevant? You can become old very fast for sure. You've seen chefs 10 years ago that you never heard about again. Their game and really trying to stay relevant in the marketing world, understanding that integrated marketing, smart marketing is important. And I think that, you know, we talked a little bit about that, I think that, you know, you can really, you've seen a lot of people kind of follow the path that we've done over the years, look, working with the Giants, working with like the Warriors or 49er organizations, working with a lot of cool custom boxes that we've done over the years from way back in the day, and collaborating with artists and working with, you know, something that you can do in your community. It doesn't have to always be a competition that you get written up about, that you're representing your town in Las Vegas at Pizza Expo and you created this pizza and blah, blah, blah. You can just kind of create a lot of things. So there's a lot to that. That saying that, yeah, hey, he's a competitive guy. He wants to win, you know, look at him in competition, but I think that it's just that a passion and love for the craft. It fuels you. You know, when you have something that fuels you and you do it, love what you do, you always want to be good at it. I mean, Slice Houses, for instance, I wasn't happy with our grandmas recently. I wanted to be thinner, crispier, wanted to fry more. I went back to the Slice House. I woke up. I said, you know what? I need to address this. I need to make it better. So certain things on the menu, I want it to be the best. If it's the garlic bread that you have, it's the best garlic bread. It's made with our sourdough. It's, you know, if it's that meatball gigante that you had that I gave to you with the fried egg on top.
Oh,
I
want that was so good.
Meatball. So I think I look at every dish on the menu, and you can't say that there's one item that sucks or just isn't that good. Or what do you recommend? What do you like? Because everything's great. And I really strive to make every item on the menu really great. And we make fresh pasta. We taste sausages. Yeah. There's certain things that we do there that are very scratch items. So when I left Paisanos after 17 years, I said, I want to make as much as I can from scratch. It's going to take a little while for me to learn this. And I learned it on my own. And with that said, I just look at everything. I really dive into it pretty deep.
Yeah. Well, so the big thing for me is, okay, so let's hear it from Tony first. What do you think is the next big pizza style wave? We know Detroit, we know like that's happened, that's happening. What is the next wave of pizza?
Sure. I mean, if you look at what I the last couple of years, I've been really focusing on Tavern at Pizza Expo.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, when I, if you look at Detroit a while back, it was like, you know, in my class, the Hunt brothers were in the class, Smokovich were in a class that we had years ago. And yeah. Hunt brothers were talking with Shabia 313 and they're amazing. They talked about Detroit. They were into it. They said, yeah, I see Sean Randazzo. I went to Detroit, met Sean. He didn't go to Expo yet. He was unknown. Sean went to Expo and he was doing Detroit style. First time I had him do a demo. No one really knew who he was. And, you know, kind of introduced Detroit. He won that year. It got big. I said this was kind of a renaissance coming. And you saw a renaissance with Smoke and I and the Hunt brothers and Sean and everything. So I started to bring Tavern recently. I've had Tavern on the menu for a long time.
I love Tavern.
And it's one of the best. And I was just at the Chicago Pizza Festival and I did my Tavern style pizza there.
Nice.
And Chicagoans were blown away by it. And they're like, okay, the way you do it different. I said, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Yeah.
Anthony Scardino and I were together. We're making it. And I think you're going to see renaissance of Tavern style. You're going to see a little bit of cast iron style pizza. If you look at what Millie's in the Pan's doing.
Yeah, I have seen that a little.
At Capo's for a long time. Matt Molina won with his cast iron back in the day, a while back. And that was a Capo's pizza. So if you look at kind of cast iron, Tavern style, those two styles, you're going to see a lot for people doing bar style, which is a little bit different than Tavern.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to see a lot of that. Thin is in, I think, right now. Thin is in.
I think so, too. Hey, I grew up on Chicago Thin, so I'm all for it.
just quickly, just for my own personal benefit, what's the differences between the bar and the Tavern style?
Well, Tavern style, usually a bar, you see like more cooked, a thin crust in a pan that's slightly fried a little bit. Party cut, super thin. And some could have a little cornmeal. Some could be no cornmeal. Some could be unleavened slightly. Some could be slightly leavened. Usually a bar is cooked in a pan slightly. Cheese is pushed out to the edge and slightly caramelized. And usually a Tavern style or cracker thin, it's slightly different, not cooked in a pan on the deck, sometimes on strings too. So they're very close to being the same. Usually the pan separates them a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like they're both really well done too. Every time I've had one, they've been really well done, which I like. I love it.
And showing a lot of times you'll mask it with cheese over the top when you see a lot of Tavern or cracker thins. For me, I use cup and char pepperoni. I want to be on top. So presenting mine is a little different. I like the little more cornmeal and I like leavened thins than not. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. We will not take up very much more of your time. Let's go out on, you know, maybe a story. How about, you know, what is your fondest memory of Tony's so far? Like, what has been that moment that really sticks out in your mind about your business?
Yeah, I remember when we're opening and it was a lot of work, a lot of doughs to juggle. Throwing dough in the garbage and it blew up the garbage can because we weren't doing enough volume. And I had all these like New York, Neapolitan, all this stuff. And, you know, you're kind of trying to get there and getting your first write up, especially by the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle and stuff, you know, and I remember like, you know, neighborhooders saying, oh, you shouldn't, it'll never work. You shouldn't open a pizza place here. And we're kind of getting ready. And the last thing you want to hear is somebody tell you this isn't going to work or why are you doing pizza? Or you're bringing pizza to Little Italy, like North Beach, Little Italy. You know, why don't you do something else? So hearing the people say, why are you doing this? What are you doing this for? You shouldn't do that. It always sticks in my mind. So that little bit of edginess or competitiveness is a little bit there and trying really hard and working all those hours at the beginning, just there manning the wood-fired oven. It was a lot of work and a lot of distractions and it was hurt. It hurt a lot when people didn't see your vision and it always hurt, you know, when that happens. And over the years, I've always had people not understand the vision. And it's tough because you're excited and you want to do this and these are my ideas.
Yeah.
people around you that are just taking away from that road. So I remember a lot, and I remember our first write up. A couple of them, they were very special, and they were good. They weren't super great, but they were really good. Good writers coming in, not Yelpers and all that. Like I'm talking about Chronicle or people writing. And then there was a fond memory of USA Today picked us as the number one pizzeria in the U.S. Not. And when that happened, you saw the line kind of form, and all of a sudden, you know, and that was real journalism. The guy came in, you know, he really tried everything, and he was a tough critic, and he came in, and there was all of a sudden there was that line, and you kind of went, holy shit. You looked at and you're looking at that line, and you step out, you almost want to shake everybody's hand. Thank you for coming, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, we will open the doors, and it kind of flooded in. That was an exciting time for that. And the line's kind of been around almost ever since that. So it was,
And it's extra sweet when people tell you that you can't do this and you pull it off. I mean, that's just
proving them wrong. Oh,
yeah. Tony's is a special place because nobody ever thought it could be done other than my two partners at the time that invested in it. Of course, my wife. I don't even know if my dad. My dad kind of says, stay with your brother. He said, you know, I have a lot of ideas, Dad. I really wanted to do this. And nobody got it. I talked to a lot of operators there. I said, multiple styles, that these dough. And they looked at me like I was nuts. And these guys I looked up to. And and I wanted encouragement. I wanted them to support it. And they just said, you know, we don't really get it. Why don't you just do one oven? What do you want to have all these ovens for? Like you kind of, and it was an interesting time. It was really hard actually, you know, and getting the funding, you know, as a young operator, you have all these ideas, not having a business plan, talking to two investors at the time saying that, hey, this is my idea and I think it'll work and this is what I do. And, you know, I try to guide as many people as I can to working on partnership agreements, working on buy sell agreements, working on the back end of the stuff. And we're so excited to open. We don't think about the accounting, the HR and everything that's behind what a business really needs. And we're always trying to improve in those systems. We're always trying to improve. And I think it's important to understand is sometimes we're just really excited. We don't pay attention to the business side. And that's the one that can come back and really bite you in the butt. So,
yeah. And that's one you've seemed to get a handle on, you know, because people always thought of you as a pizza maker and an acrobat and things at the beginning. And here you've proven that you are top notch when it comes to the business end of it. You're even helping others out with the business end, you know?
So I always say, you know, we came from the school of hard knocks. We didn't go to college. My brother and I, when we started, you know, if you look at the business now, and I have over about 30 concepts, and you're talking about like Raiders, 49ers in Vegas and casinos. I mean, it's, you know, then Tony's open. And then you look at Slice House, Capo's and Pizza Rocks and everything else. It's been a learning curve. You have to have good people around you. And at the same time, I made a lot of bad choices. I don't post, you know, you see my posts and people say, oh, he did this or that. I don't post negative. Yeah. I don't post, you know, when I lose, I mean, I've lost more than I've won. And I try to be positive. I show my son or I show my tomatoes. Is it tiring? And you know, do you get stomach aches and headaches from the business? You really do. And not everything is great. It's very hard. And I'm always learning. You're always learning in the business, you know, in the world of business. And, but it's a great, our industry is awesome. I mean, the camaraderie in our industry, I don't think there's any like it. And we like see it always at Pizza Expo. I mean, you know, or Atlantic City, you know, we see it there with not only operators and speakers, but just, you look at just the manufacturers that we get together with, these guys that make our flours and cheeses and ovens. It's a very special community, honestly.
Absolutely. It is. And we've got Atlantic City coming up, so it's going to be awesome.
I guess we'll see you there.
Well, Tony, thanks for coming on today and just sharing your experience. And again, congratulations for Pizzeria of the Year. So well deserved. We even got flat because we haven't hit you up yet for it. So we've got you now. We've got your Pizzeria of the Year. It's amazing.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well deserved.
All right. Well, you take care and have a, we're shooting this up. We're doing this on a Monday. So you have a great rest of your week.
Have a great week. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. See you, Tony.
Bye.
Bye.